are live. Tonight we are live from Not the Mansion, as usual. Tonight we are live. I can't get this damn hat to stay straight on my head because of the camera angle, and it's bothering me. But we are live from R&R Northport. That's right, folks. There are two R&Rs now. You thought it was a pain in the ass with the first one? Now I got two. So here we are. We're at the second one. We call it the Annex. I don't know why they call it the Annex, the annexation of Puerto Rico, Little Giants. Are you even old enough to remember Little Giants?
I'm AJ? Not.
Okay, Payne. All right, I'm a big boomer. All right, so we are live tonight with my pal, AJ Spur. He writes for USA Today for the Roll Tide Wire. And we are here. Well, he's not here. I am here at this beautiful Northport establishment. I'm going to give you. This is our new bar, okay? I'm not going to say the name of the bar owner, little Irish guy. I'm not going to say his name. He said that we don't know how to run a bar, so we just opened up a bar because, you know, fuck you. I can do it. That's why I'm your favorite bar owner. So here we are. We're at R&R Northport. It's a nice bar. It's nicer than the little Irish pub. But here we are. So, anyway, AJ, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you for finally having me on. I know we've been planning this for a while, going a little bit back and forth. Now, I have not been to the Northport location yet, but I did tell you I'm watching the Kentucky game, Alabama-Kentucky basketball, on Tuesday somewhere. Now, I might go back and forth from the mansion to the annex, just – back and forth as the game goes on. So
I think we should watch it at the mansion because, there's nowhere to watch a basketball game than at the mansion because we have an 86-inch 4K TV. You know, me, Mr. I don't know how to run a bar, only bar in town with an 86-inch 4K TV that people can watch, all their favorite Alabama hoops on, Alabama football, Alabama basketball. There's a lot of Alabama football fans that are watching Kentucky basketball fail right now, but not us because we're Alabama through and through, hoops and football, right? I do Liberty because, I went there, but, I'm not an Alabama Duke fan or an Alabama Kentucky fan or an Alabama like UCLA fan, right? Like I have Alabama and I have Liberty,
I just get paid to watch both. Well, there's my incentive. You have Liberty. I don't know if you know this about me, but FIU football, if we're talking Group of Five football, Florida International is my school.
Yeah.
I grew up on that. And their program is not even 30 years old yet.
Yeah. Well, Liberty's the same way. We were founded in, we're barely over 30. Mm-hmm. But Liberty was founded in 71. So this is actually the 50th anniversary. Jeez, I can't do math. This is actually Liberty's 50th anniversary. So it's a big year. That's the golden anniversary, right? Boom, boom.
Get Jerry Jr. on.
Well, I know Jerry Jr. would probably prefer to watch. Yeah. Now, I don't think he'd like to be on. I think he'd prefer to watch. So, you set that one up perfectly, by the way.
Here.
Yeah, that's Boom Boom over there in the back. So, yeah, man, so let's get into it. We got Alabama hoops. What a week, huh? I mean, they're as high as number 8 in some circles?
CBS has them top 10. I mean, that LSU game ended, and I don't know who it was that made those rankings, but they were waiting to click the button to get it going. Somebody at CBS is high on Alabama. From the jump, apparently, because LSU happened. Twitter was still rolling, but CBS had him at like number 9, I think, or something crazy like that. And people saying that the hardest part of the schedule is already gone. I mean, if you look, all the difficult teams, difficult, quote-unquote, for this Alabama team, it's all going to be played at home now.
Yeah.
And I don't know the timetable, personally, of when we're getting Bruner back. But as soon as he's back and healthy, undefeated SEC.
Undefeated. Man, you know, people get on to me about my takes, right? They say my takes are hot. That was a scalding one. Undefeated. I mean, like, I know you're like a young, like, you're a Zoomer, as you're called, right? You're a Zoomer, so, you know, the memory is recency bias. I am old enough to remember last year, this team, basically the same guys, arguably more talented with Kyra Lewis, but these guys just completely falling apart down the stretch. Well, and with Avery, they did it a bunch too, but this is not – Alabama has never been a February-March team. Like, so what is the difference this year versus in all of the previous years past?
Well, you know, aside from Avery Johnson not being, you know, a plague to this team anymore, the program, let's just look at last year Nate Oates to this year Nate Oates as we get near that, you know, serious talk when it comes to March Madness. Last year coming into when it actually started to matter and you needed to win the games, bubble talk. It was next four out or, you know, I forgot what it comes after next four out. It's like the next four out. Alabama was dancing right around that little bubble there. And I know that's historically, in recent years at least, that's where they've been chilling around. Last year, they enter this serious part of the season in that bubble, pressure's on them. They're probably not, you know, the team to make that push. We never got to see. As far as I'm concerned, Alabama would have made the tournament.
Yeah.
Air quotes around that one, maybe put an asterisk there.
Yeah.
But now let's look at where we are right now. The team is it's what, 12-3 right now? Okay, undefeated in SEC play. They've got nothing to worry about. This team's having fun going into this stretch of the season where the pressure should be on them.
You right, know? And I do want to give a special shout-out to Josh Moon, disgraced AL.com writer, who said things were about to get messy for Alabama basketball, and then they went and ripped off, what, four in a row, five in a row since his tweet. And I think the only thing messy is his career because he, you know, again, you're a Zoomer. You don't remember all these things. But I remember when Nick Saban got hired at Alabama, Josh Moon called him average, called him overrated, he actually typed out and hit send on a Nick Saban compared to Tommy Tuberville is appropriately rated as Alabama's version of Tommy Tuberville. So congratulations, Josh Moon. You got it right. You know, you got it right. You still haven't got it right. So, but it's an impressive run. I mean, this is an impressive run. They look as good as I have seen. So, you know, I'm excited. These players, they do seem to be a little different this year.
It's, you know,
which is weird because I would expect them to be like not as good this year because of all the COVID, with they didn't get the full off season, you know, and they didn't get that. I mean, it's been such a weird year for these college athletes. So they look different.
It's weird because, and you know, I want to touch on the fact that there was COVID this year. The offseason may look different. And a lot of teams are using the whole, we didn't get a good chance to gel over the offseason. There wasn't a good time to, you know, build this chemistry that you would normally have going into the season and starting to look strong. I don't know. Nate Oates doesn't care. You know, Nate Oates had COVID in the offseason. I think that they were, you know, doing things to get this team to at least feel comfortable around each other. This team, compared to last year, completely different look. Okay.
Yeah.
You come into this year, everyone's
and it's because they lost Kyra Lewis, a lottery pick.
And I was thinking about, somebody had asked me yesterday, what do you think this team would look like with Kyra? Would it be scarier? And I could not give them a straight answer because part of me wants to think, you know, the team, how it looks right now, it's perfect how it is. Obviously, there are things you could do to tweak, you know, make some things better here and there. But would Kyra Lewis have fit into, you know, what Alabama's putting on the court right now? Is my question.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, would they be the same? I don't know. It's tough to say because you would want to have that guy on your team, right? I mean, like, who says, yeah, I don't want Kyra Lewis on my team, right? Who says that, right? Nobody says that, right? Because the kid is just, like, he's the type of kid that could take a team like this, and not to say that they can't compete for a Final Four. That remains to be seen. But if you put Kyra Lewis on this team and they're playing at this level with Kyra, you're looking at this team and you're saying, oh, my God, this team literally might win it all. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and sure, they have the potential to do that. But I think that if you had the choice, yeah, obviously you put Kyra on the team. And I think that the reason Kyra plays is it's year two. I think Kyra's probably a better player in year two of the OAT system than in year one of the OAT system. Because this is a completely different team than what he had with Avery with his boring ass tale of two halves self, you know, which shout out Bruce Pearl for saying that last night. We all got a kick out of that.
I was just about to ask if you had seen that. My thing though with this team is look, analytics, I love the numbers, love looking at that. But one thing I love is the eye test. A lot of people love to hate on the eye test. They think it's, you know, a bunch of BS, especially when looking at draft prospects for this sport or that sport. This Alabama team has to pass every possible eye test, I would think. I mean, the culture, Nate Oath, the blue-collar culture, the blue-collar type of basketball that he's instilled with this program, it's in the second year now, okay? I think last year it was accepted by the team. I think the fans, you know, accepted it. But I think now finally understood, you know. I think the team has not just bought into it, it is now living it. You know, on ESPN they were showing the, what do they call it, the hard hat points, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I have one of those. I have a hard hat at the mansion. I need to get Nate Oates to sign it. I have a hard hat. I appreciate the hard hat. I respect the hustle. You know, I like John Cena as much as the next guy. You know, hustle, duty, respect. Or hustle, loyalty, respect. The three pillars, right? You know, the three pillars.
I was the biggest John Cena freak.
Yeah.
By the way, went to the Royal Rumble. I think it was 2009 when Rey Mysterio won in Miami.
Oh man, yeah, Rey Mysterio. Oh. I grew up watching Rey Mysterio. Who would like? So if I could get John Cena on the show, would you want to come back and like, or would you be capable of you know being on the same you know screen as John Cena?
I would have to get my little – I had a whole collection when I was younger of all the WWE action figures. I mean, anyone you can name, I had them. And yeah. I'd probably just sit here with a little John Cena perched on my
– John Cena chub going? Yeah. Yeah, you bet you'd have a little John Cena going, right? All right. Well, Rocky Dale Davis has got followed by The Rock. Rocky Dale Davis. I don't know, the anniversary party next Friday, we've got Rocky Dale Davis, famous Vegas comedian, guy's hilarious, you know, sometimes, you know, can't give him too big of a head. He probably is watching this. I don't know. It might not be. He's too popular to be watching the show. Maybe he'll listen to it later. I don't know. But Rocky Dale Davis, he's so famous. He got followed by he got followed by The Rock on Instagram. So it was a wild thing. He called me up at like 3 a.m. and he was like, hey, I got followed by The Rock. And I was like, oh, cool. Can you tell him to follow me too? And he was like, I don't think so. I was like, okay, I'm going to sleep. Congrats.
If The Rock followed, here's the difference between if John Cena followed me versus The Rock. If it was John Cena, it would just be a fanboy thing. You know, that'd be it. If it was The Rock, I would message him in an instant with a business venture about starting an XFL franchise in Birmingham.
Hey, I remember the Iron. You remember the Iron?
You know what? Give me 1 second. Oh, I have something for you.
Oh no! I always worry when they go off screen. Like, what if he comes back without clothes on? That'd be weird. Oh, good. Oh, whew. Oh, Trent Richardson. Wow. You found that thing better than Trent Richardson found the hole.
I went to one Birmingham Iron game. It was the Iron versus the Stallions from Salt Lake.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I have the perfect quarterback if they bring the Iron back. They could have Tua. He would fit perfectly in the XFL.
It was. It's been a great time on the show. Yeah. Reagan, thank you. I'm going to have to get going. You know, we can get into that if you want. I can
No. Let's talk hoops. We got a whole hour here. We're going to get – oh, no, trust me. We're bringing up your Tua takes and how you think Tua is better than Mac Jones because we're going there. We are definitely going there. And I hope you're ready to stand in the paint, sir, because I'm coming in like Karl Malone on an underage girl for you. All right? So
I have taken heat, and we'll get back to hoops, but I want you to know I've taken heat from both Alabama people and Miami Dolphins people on my Tua takes, just because I'm kind of where the crossroads meet right there. And it's almost at a point I might say something later that you would agree with, shockingly, yeah, on my Tua takes.
Oh, really?
We'll okay. Get to that when you're ready.
Okay. So, all right. So, Bama hoops, how far do you think they go? Sweet 16, Final Four, Elite Eight. I mean, be realistic here. How far do you think they go? Do you think that they're beating, like, Gonzaga, a Florida State? I saw them matched up with Liberty. I think they'd beat Liberty. I hate saying it, but I think they would. You know, what do you think here?
Now, realistically, where I'm kind of sitting at here is, do I think this team is equal to or better than the Auburn team that went to the Final Four? Okay. I want to say yes, but for some reason, I can't get past the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I think that is where this team, I don't want to say hits a wall, but kind of meets a level of competition that maybe they wouldn't have faced. You know, I'm sitting here saying they'll go undefeated in the SEC. Surely maybe Tennessee next time they play, you know, shows up. They know what to expect. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just assume there's nobody in the SEC that can take down Alabama. Yeah. All right. Cool. Win the tournament. Have a good time. Start March Madness overall. All right. Facing some teams equal to or of lesser caliber. I think right around the Sweet 16 is where Alabama will meet teams like Gonzaga. Yeah. All right. That, you know, if they have a great game and they keep going, great.
Yeah, I mean, if they shoot 74% and a half like they did LSU, I mean, like, you, if they do that, I mean, yeah, they're going to run with anybody, you know.
Well, I think
that's the type of play it'd take to beat a Gonzaga.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think if they play consistently like how they played against LSU, we're looking at a Final Four team. Easily. But I think the issue is here, we don't see that level of play consistently throughout the season with Alabama. Unless that was the first of many.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I hope they make it. I'm sure they will. I'm pretty confident they'll make it now. But I hope that people don't feel let down by a Sweet 16 run, you know, because I hope that if I had told you before the season, AJ, Alabama's going to the Sweet 16, they're going to lose, you know, you would have been, I'm pretty sure you would have signed up for, I don't know really anybody that wouldn't have signed up for a Sweet 16 run, you know. So I hope, because Bama fans, they go kind of crazy on the basketball ones, go a little crazy. With they set their expectations all the way up here, and then when they don't hit the expectations that nobody had for them, you know, like, it'd be like if my wife said, I need 2 hours tonight, and I said, gee, sorry, babe. You know, she was like, I expect 2 hours. And I was like, well, it wasn't much, but it was honest work, you know. She said 5 minutes. If I gave her 5 minutes, I would feel like that was an accomplishment, you know. So I hope that the Bama fans, that they, you know, they, if they do, even going was really the bar for this season. Coming into it, it was like, you know, beat some teams, win some games, let's make the tournament, and we'll be happy. So I hope that, like, when they make the tournament and then whatever happens in the tournament, I hope that their expectations are managed.
Well, and I think this is where just Alabama as a whole, the fan base, is, you know, kind of held back by the success of the football program. Okay. Alabama last year, you know, two losses with a win in the Citrus Bowl over Michigan. People were pissed. I mean, pissed.
Yeah.
Now, okay. They normally, you know, as people on Twitter would call them FOGs, okay, they want nothing to do with basketball. Now they get a taste of what they're used to with football in consistent winning, high level of play, success. And the second they don't get it, even though, you know, normal basketball fans for Alabama would have seen a Sweet 16 run and been more than content with that, you know, they're going to be pissed. And that's just because their expectations are not leveled with that of Alabama basketball. They're accustomed to the football side of things.
Yeah.
So I think blessing and a curse with that one.
Yeah, I think so. I they just, you know, a lot of the, it's kind of, and it's weird too, because these Kentucky basketball fans, the Alabama football, Kentucky basketball fans, what do you do if you're an Alabama football and a Kentucky basketball fan this season? It's kind of weird. You had a good, I mean, like, do you come back to Alabama hoops? I don't know. I mean, are they allowed back in if they were Kentucky or Duke, you know, basketball fans? You know, I don't know.
I may need to leave that one up to Luke. Okay. He might need to determine some sort of test someone can take to get back into the Alabama fan base for that. But you know, that's not my place to judge for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I don't know. So anyway, so we're going to go. So Bama hoops. So your final prediction for Bama hoops.
Two more losses. I'll be generous.
Two losses. That'll put them at what? Five for the season? No, six for the – no, five for the season.
Five.
Well, they got three now?
Yeah.
Okay, so five losses for the season. That'd be pretty good. It'd be like, what, 27-5? Something like that?
I think that's realistic.
And how are they doing in the tournament?
Like I said, the furthest I can see them going – is Sweet 16. I'll stick with that. I'll stick with Sweet 16.
Okay. So do they win the SEC or the SEC tournament?
I think they win the SEC regular season. I think the tournament is a toss-up. Okay? I'm not going to say between Alabama and Tennessee or Missouri or anything like that. I think that's one of those things where it takes one game, one great game from another team or one bad game from Alabama to spoil it all. So I don't know. I'm not comfortable saying 100% Alabama will win the SEC tournament.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. All right. So we've got Alabama going to the Sweet 16, mm-hmm. winning the SEC regular season, and then probably top three in the SEC tournament. I can go with that. And then they build on it and go next year, hopefully further.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the goal. You're always trying to go deeper. You know, you're always trying to go deeper. You know, always throughout life, you're always trying to go deeper. So
I'm so getting, Alabama, I'm getting ahead. Right for not puffing on something.
I know. You need a cigar. He's going to be smoking at the mansion on what? On Tuesday when we watch the game.
Tuesday I'll be over there. If they want to see me puffing on something, just slide over on Tuesday. But like I was telling you, Reagan, I'm in quarantine right now just because of exposure. Yeah. And work makes me, you know, quarantine. Even I tested negative and everything. So,
yeah.
You know, as soon as, what is it? I think it's Monday. I think Monday is my,
and I'm laughing at these comments.
Danny
says, oh yeah, baby, got to go deep. He knows. That's why he works here. He gets it. I'm smoking tonight. I've got an LFD, the Oro Tubo. This comes in a gold tube. It's an amazing cigar. We got them at the mansion. We got them at Northport. If you haven't tried it, you should try it. We love LFD. I'm repping a Foundation Cigars hat. We love the Tabernacle, the Charter Oaks, the High Clare Castles, the Way Wednesdays, and then some people like the Upsetters. That's a popular cigar. So that's what all we've got going on. And I'm obviously always repping the mansion. So people have been asking what's going on with my Illuminati looking hat. All right. So let's go shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Alabama football. Actually, let's not talk about Alabama football. What are they going to do? Right. Alabama's going to win it next year. We talked about Alabama football. Draft stocks. There's been a lot of talk about Devontae Smith. You guys might have heard about him. He's the most – he has been the most awarded wide receiver in history, right? The guy has won more awards than any wide receiver in history. And there are a lot of wide receivers out there that were really good in college. You know, Peter Warwick, Randy Moss, Megatron, Woodson, all these guys. Smitty outdid them all. And somebody had him at like the ninth or 10th best wide receiver coming out of college this year.
Like recently they had that?
Yeah, there was a guy that had it. And then somebody had him the third best between Ja'Marr Chase, who opted out this season, and Jaylen Waddle. Mm-hmm. How does that sit with you?
Here's the thing. And I wrote about a mock draft today. And for some reason, I'm seeing a lot of Ja'Marr Chase's being the wide receiver one for this draft class. Ja'Marr Chase is a great wide receiver. I don't think you can go wrong with Ja'Marr, Devontae, or Waddle. I think Waddle, out of those three, is, you know, the most different. I think you can kind of group Chase and Smith together as far as the type of wide receiver they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's absurd to not say, you know, Devontae or Ja'Marr, you know, fighting for the top spot.
Right.
Personally, I think it's a matter of preference at that point. And then, you know, whoever's number two, and then you got Waddle at number three. I just think personally, the type of wide receiver he is, I don't think you can list him as wide receiver one. But I think all three of them are gone before pick number 15.
Yeah, I think so. I could see Waddle lasting longer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can see Waddle lasting longer.
I've seen all three top 10. All today I've been scouring mock drafts. All three of them have been going top 10 in recent mocks. I don't think that's reasonable. I think trades are going to happen. I think one of them is going to be pushed out. But I think it's not unfair to think that at least Chase and Smith will be going top 10.
Yeah. Okay. So who – So you're a Dolphins fan. There are a lot of Dolphins fans that, you know, only watch the Dolphins in the past year. If you're a Dolphins guy, you got what, three picks in the first round?
Two in the – well, there's the third overall pick, the 18th, and then the 35th.
Yeah, okay. So basically right three first-rounders, right?
Yeah.
So would you trade those picks? So you, would you trade those picks for Deshaun Watson?
Here's the thing. Yes, I would. I'm pro Deshaun Watson trade. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily anti Tua, but.
But you recognize Deshaun Watson's a better quarterback.
100%. I think. Yeah. You know, not just the better quarterback. I think he's one of the best in the NFL. You know, I think top five, and he's still on, you know, the Texans. So, you know, I don't want to have to give up too much if I'm the Dolphins GM, but I think realistically, it's going to cost both firsts, Tua and probably the 2022 first.
Ooh, that's a lot. That's a lot. So say you keep your picks. Who are you going with the number three pick?
I want Smith. I'm in the camp of Devontae Smith over Ja'Marr Chase. And, mm-hmm. you know, call it personal bias, you know, with being closely tied to Alabama. I don't think they can go wrong with either one. Like I keep saying, I think they're very similar wide receivers. I would just like to see the Tua Devontae connection.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Okay. So, you're not going after Penis Sewell.
I think the Jets are getting him.
Yeah. You think that the Jets are getting Penis with the number two, pick, and then you guys are going to get Smitty, and then Justin Fields is not going top four.
Like I said today, when I was looking at drafts, I don't know what's happening, but crap, what's his name? BYU.
Oh yeah, I watched him play. I watched him play versus Coastal, and he sucked.
He's moving into like QB2 spot in some drafts, which I don't get.
Yeah,
I don't even think he's QB3, but Zach Wilson. That's it. I don't know why that took me so long to remember. But
yeah, I don't understand that one. I mean, I literally watched the man play. You know, man, it's like Josh Rosen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these same people that are telling me, you know, Mac Jones is a late first rounder are the same ones that told me Josh Rosen was really the best quarterback in the draft. And, you know, it's like, did you watch Josh Rosen play at UCLA? I did. It wasn't great, you know, in this. I thought it was stupid when they said Mac Jones is barely their first round talent. I mean, the man literally was only the best quarterback in Alabama's history, you know. I mean, and at this point, AJ, you can't argue it. It's impossible to argue. But Mac Jones is the best quarterback that Alabama's ever had. I mean, he had the highest rated season on an only SEC schedule, you know. And they're saying late first rounder, maybe second day pick. I don't think so.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to, you know, concede. Mac Jones, as far as their time at Alabama was concerned, in their one season, let's just put Mac's one season against Tua's best. Yes.
Mac played better last year.
Listen, all right. I think Mac Jones is falling victim to the hype behind Trevor Lawrence, okay? Mm-hmm. Is Mac Jones, you know, capable of taking over the number one overall pick? No.
Yeah.
You think Mac Jones is worthy of number one overall?
I mean, think about it. I mean, think about it. Would I rather have a man who has long hair and puts on women's clothes and shakes his ass on video as the number one pick, or a bona fide man's man who chiefs an upsetter with his shirt off and his dad bod? Yeah, I'll take Mac Jones over Trevor Lawrence. Yes, sir, I would.
Okay, let's think about it this way. Mac Jones, as far as his ability to start a franchise over, I know you're not a Jags fan. You really want Mac to be the at the helm of your rebuild?
It depends. I mean, it depends on this. It depends on the, I think it depends on the team, obviously. Absolutely. If I was the Bucks, I'd so much rather, and I'm a Bucks fan. I'd love it if the Bucks drafted Mac Jones, to be the guy that takes over for Brady. I absolutely think he can. I think Mac Jones, I think he's incredibly talented, throws as good a deep ball as anybody. But I think the problem is we are so typecast on our quarterbacks that we literally look at a kid and we say, oh, he looks like an NFL quarterback, right? You know, that was the big thing with Josh Rosen, Mitch Trubisky, right? They loved Mitch Trubisky, mm-hmm. right? Mitch Trubisky looks like an NFL quarterback. And it's like, okay, so he's 6'5", white, and, you know, has a pretty arm motion. Who cares what he actually does with the ball when he throws it? But hey, you know, like his mechanics, they're great.
We just described Josh Allen. I want you to know that's also who you just described.
Yeah, but Josh Allen also, I could see it with Josh Allen. He had a crazy high percentage. Like he played well, you know, even though he didn't play, for a good team. You know, he still played well, and he had good coaching too. I think that's another big thing is you got to have good coaching wherever you're going. You know, Josh Allen, he had Brian Daboll, you know, and then it still took him having a receiver. You know, he had to, you know, they had to go get Diggs for him, and that made a huge difference. So, I do think Mac Jones has a good career. He had a great team. Yeah, you're right, Sam. He had a great team. You know, and so but I think Mac Jones can be the same way. You know, if you put him on a good team, I think Mac Jones will be great. You know, if he has to be the guy, I don't know, because I don't know about in today's NFL, if you have to be the guy and you don't have anybody else, you know, like even Brady couldn't do it in New England with no wide receivers and no running back. I think those days are kind of over.
My thing right now is, and I'm going to meet you in the middle here with the Mac thing. I think, you know, he's not, in my personal opinion, he's not someone I could see, you know, with a trash franchise. Okay, let's name any trash franchise. Okay, I could not see myself putting him, you know, in the position to say, all right, we're going to build around you. Now, at the same time, I don't think Mac Jones is a second-round quarterback. I think Mac Jones is worthy of a first-round pick. But I don't think, you know, he's getting the acknowledgement he deserves because of the Trevor Lawrences, the Justin Fields, okay, even Trey Lance. We came into this season, okay, with those three, Fields, Lance, and Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was so high up on him.
Yeah,
that it was almost like if you're another quarterback that wants to fight for a first round, you know, selection, you're going to have to, you know, fight for fourth. Obviously, Zach Wilson has, you know, been competing with Trey Lance for QB3, but, you know, Mac, as funny as it is coming from Alabama winning a national championship, I think he is, you know, facing the consequences of not having as much media exposure, you know, before his final season with Alabama, as Fields did with Ohio State, and as Trevor did with Clemson, especially after winning the Natty as a freshman. In my eyes, it's BS how some of the mock drafts are coming in, okay, because we don't know what's really going to happen on draft night.
We have no idea.
I think it's BS that everyone, whether it be analysts, fans, you know, anonymous scouts leaking reports, I think it's all a wash that they look at Trevor Lawrence, you know, from this past season alone, without considering all the media hype and how many times his name has been in the headlines, all right, before this last season. Because he was not impressive this last season. No. Not the slightest. But he's had number one overall pick locked up since God knows when. Probably since he beat Alabama.
Well, I think coming out of high school, the hype for Trevor's been there since he came out of high school, right? I mean, that kid, he was always going to be, you know, that he was supposed to win a Heisman. He was supposed to win national championships. You know, Justin Fields was the same way coming out of high school. He was supposed to win a Heisman. He was supposed to win a natty. I thought for sure – Justin Fields wins the national championship before he leaves college. You know, I was like, that was, I've always been all in on Justin Fields. And maybe if he doesn't go to Georgia, maybe he does win a natty. You know, if he goes with Jimbo, maybe he wins one. If he goes somewhere else, you know, I don't know. But I think for me with Mac though, I think Mac, I really do like Mac as a player. I like him as a player. I like him as a leader. I like him as a quarterback. You know, and I think he brings a lot to the table that I think people just tend to overlook because those aren't necessarily the qualities that they, you know, like when you talk about NFL talent anymore, they want, you know, a big guy that can, you know, that can run the ball too. And they want a guy with a big arm. And I mean, Mac Jones has some wheels. Mac Jones got a big arm. And I see him having a lot of those. I mean, the guy is pretty accurate too. I mean, let's not act like the guy didn't just complete like what I think he had over 70% completion percentage in this year against a very tough schedule. So, you know, I don't think so. You know, I just don't see what they're not seeing. But that's why I sit here and do a podcast for, you know, and at my two bars, and they make millions of bucks to be wrong. So, you know,
if you can sound right when you're wrong, that's when they'll pay you that money.
Boy, I tell you what, I always sound right when I'm wrong. I don't know that I've ever been wrong. I'm just going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't been wrong about Mac Jones being better than Bryce Love. I haven't been wrong about Mac Jones being better than Tua. I haven't been wrong about Mac Jones being better than Jalen. So, you know, like, I'm, when it comes to Mac Jones, I've been pretty on there.
Let me ask you this, because I was not hot on Mac Jones at all coming into this season. And it wasn't what I saw from the bigger games that he had to play in when Tua went down in 2019, you know, I did not see the same Mac Jones that we saw during the 2020 season. You know, I don't know what happened during the offseason. To be honest, during Auburn, in 2019. Okay. Did you think Mac Jones actually looked like a worthy quarterback for Alabama during that game?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. He had one bad interception, you know, and then he had the one pick six where it hit Najee in the back. And then, you know, I mean, that's bad luck, right? If Najee turns around, that's six. The game's different. They probably win. I thought he looked really good. He looked really good against Michigan in the bowl game. And, you know, so I thought I always thought that he was going to be a good quarterback. And I didn't want Bryce this year. I wanted Mac. And, you know, I think the kid proved a lot of people wrong. And I hope he does it at the next level.
I don't want to see Mac go into the NFL and start immediately. I don't think that's going to be good for him. I don't know how you feel about that. I think if you put Mac in a similar situation to, I'm going to get help for this. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he was benched. He sat. You know, he learned the system. He figured out how to be an NFL quarterback before becoming an NFL quarterback.
I think it also took like one of the worst injuries in NFL history to get Mahomes the starting job. So I hope that doesn't happen with Mac, but you know,
is that not what happened with Mac at Alabama though?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, was Mac ever really destined for the starting position? Do you think that there would have been a walk behind Mac if it wasn't for the injury to Tua in 2019, where Mac had to step in to fill in for the rest of the year? I mean,
You said he didn't look good in that game, so.
No, but there were, in my opinion, but there were still people like yourself who looked at that and thought, damn, I want this kid to be my starting quarterback. And you were right. I'll give you all the credit you know, given to you. But do you think that the camp backing Mac heading into the 2020 season would have been as strong should Tua have finished?
You're right. No, I don't think so. I mean, there was definitely some things to look at and say, this guy can throw it. This guy can be our guy. This guy can do all the things that we need him to do to win us a national championship next year. And he went on and did it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the kid, you know, I think I love the kid. I wish him well. Hope he goes to Tampa Bay. I really do. I'd love to see him follow up Brady. So, anyway, whoever comes in next year, whoever the starter is next year, probably Bryce. But whoever comes in next year, they have a tall task because they are going to be playing for the man that traded away Dustin Hopkins and traded away the number 3 pick for Laremy Tunsil, our new offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien. How are you feeling about Bill O'Brien?
I think that he can't legally trade anybody from the team. So I think
that's a plus. Let's be real. He probably would trade like Mechie for like, you know, for some more like dip. Mm-hmm. If I had to get, you know.
We have
like an unlimited supply of dip at the complex.
I don't think it's a bad hire. I don't know. I think it's a good hire. I don't have an issue with it. I think Bill O'Brien was successful in his time at Penn State. I mean, that's what led him to the Houston Texans job. I think he made a whole career out of being a collegiate assistant coach, you know, prior to even being with Bill Belichick in New England for, you know, however many years he was there for. It was a decent amount of time. Granted, they never won a Super Bowl there, but he did work with Brady closely. He worked with Bill closely, and if anything, we know Saban and Belichick are, you know. So,
yeah.
I don't think that it was a terrible hire. I think it was an above-average hire. I don't know who else they would have gone with. I don't know who else they could have snagged from another team. That's the thing. All right. Of all the available coaches, I think Bill O'Brien was the best. But I don't know if they even reached out to any other programs to gauge interest from, you know, other offensive coordinators or QB RB coaches, stuff like that.
It's weird. He's one of those guys that actually coached on defense. People don't realize he's a defensive guy. He played defensive back and linebacker at Brown. So he's pretty smart. He got his start coaching at Brown. Went to Georgia Tech, worked his way up to offensive coordinator. He did a stint at Maryland. To shout out to Mike Locksley, the OC quarterback coach at Duke. Then he worked his way from offensive analyst with the Patriots all the way up to the offensive coordinator, Penn State head coach, Houston Texans 6 years as a head coach, went 54-52 in the NFL. He's won the Paul Bear Bryant Award, so that's good, you know. Coach of the Year, Big Ten Coach of the Year, the ESPN Coach of the Year. 2012 was a good year for Bill O'Brien, huh? So that's our new offensive coordinator. For those that are like, oh, the guy just – all he did was trade away, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, right? So he's got a resume, and it's a long one.
Maybe this was his plan the whole time.
I doubt it.
Going to trade away some picks, going to trade away star players, going to have a disgruntled quarterback, going to get myself fired with a nice buyout, going to work my way back into college game.
So does it concern you having basic, like, are we, like, Holman Wiggins, I guess, is the only guy that hasn't officially left yet, right? The wide receiver coach. So does it concern you a lot having – they're going into signing day. I guess their class is basically done, but going into signing day and you still have 3 coaches on the offense that you still don't know what's going on?
I think that other coaches from across the country are going to be looking at Alabama, looking at their recruits especially, and pointing at, you know, they still have holes to fill. Look at how many people left. You know, did Sark recruit you? Do you still want to go there? You know, he's not there anymore. I think that Saban is the X factor here. You know, I don't think it's a matter of, you know, rebuilding or reloading. A lot of these players, regardless of who recruits them, knows one stat from Alabama football, and that is every single recruiting class that Nick Saban has had come through Tuscaloosa has at least played in a national championship.
I mean, this is wild, right? So this is wild. I'm looking at their recruiting class now, right? Mm-hmm. So out of their class, of they have 26 commits, right? Mm-hmm. They also have a Devontae Smith. He signed. He's on defense. Yeah, he's a corner, yeah. But out of the 26 that have signed, 14 are already enrolled. That is just an absolutely silly number to have 14 kids already enrolled. I mean, what a huge edge going into spring camp to have 14 kids already there and already enrolled.
And keep in mind, there's still time for transfers to come in. Obviously, this whole thing with Tennessee's blowing up. Mm-hmm. Numerous kids have already announced they're looking to transfer. One of them is this kid, Henry To'o, I think his name is how you pronounce it. He was a four-star out of California 2019 class, played as a true freshman at Tennessee, lit it up. I mean, he's their star linebacker. Gone. If he didn't commit to Tennessee, you know where he would have committed? All the crystal balls were either Tennessee or Alabama.
Yeah.
And you got to win.
He got a lot of Happy Meals to go to Tennessee, buddy. You know, he got a lot of Happy Meals. You know, it was more than just toys in that bag.
I love the memes that have been coming off this.
Yeah, been a lot of them.
But hold on, Sam has a good point in the chat.
Sam said having a staff with multiple former NFL head coaches is a big sell. Who better to teach and train kids on what it takes to be an NFL star than former guys who spent multiple years training some of the league's best? That's a good point. I mean, you're looking at Alabama's got – now they'll have two, as far as we know, they'll have two NFL head coaches as assistant coaches. That's crazy. I mean, where do you see that? Where else but Nick Saban do you see former NFL head coaches as assistant coaches?
And the thing is, and first of all, Bill O'Brien's also the quarterbacks coach now for Alabama. That's fine. All right. Bill O'Brien's great, has success in college before. Doug Marrone, okay, I think is going to have a bigger impact, you know, flailing the whole former NFL coach, you know.
Yeah.
You're not looking at an offensive coordinator. You're saying, I just went from an NFL head coach to here, all right?
Yeah.
From the outside looking in, that looks like, okay, this guy just got a massive demotion, all right? He's not only, you know, no longer a head coach, but he's a collegiate offensive line coach. But if I'm a four- or five-star offensive lineman from anywhere in the country, I'm going to want to learn from that guy. And especially with the experience he has coaching offensive lines.
Yeah, I mean, like you look at Marrone, he played in the league, coached offensive line at Coast Guard, Northwestern, Georgia Tech, Georgia, the Tennessee. Man, he probably wasn't doing the McDonald's bags there. Coached at the Jets. The Saints offensive line coach. Then he coached the Jags offensive line. Then he was the head coach at the Jags, head coach at the Bills, head coach at Syracuse. Now he's Alabama's offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty good resume for an offensive line coach.
That's what I'm thinking. Marrone is going to have better luck recruiting than O'Brien. I don't think O'Brien's going to have a hard time recruiting, but if we were to, you know, take a scale and weigh the two recruits that they're going to be bringing in, I think Marone's going to be, you know, dropping his end.
Well, I mean, if we're taking a scale to the recruits, I would hope that Marone's guys outweigh the guys that O'Brien's bringing in. I mean, given that he's recruiting offensive linemen, you know, I'd hope that they'd be bigger. You know, I mean, I've seen small offensive lines, you know. I remember watching Notre Dame. I seen Michigan State versus Alabama.
So, Coastal's offensive line did not look that big. And they got that 5'9 center.
Yeah, wild, right? We have number 69, Landon Dickerson. Rest in peace. You know, probably one of my favorite Alabama players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think for Alabama football going forward next year?
I honestly don't see a difference in the upcoming years. I think it's going to be a big, you know, change with the quarterback. A lot of people now are jumping on the Paul Tyson train, which blows my mind. Yeah. I watched some of him in high school, and he's not bad. He's not terrible. He's not. But I've watched tape on him and Bryce Young. And whether you like Bryce Young's style of play or not, there's no disagreeing that I think Bryce Young is far and away better than Paul Tyson.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I mean, Bryce Young, he's coming out of Mater Dei?
Yeah.
That's where he played, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, 5-star kid. Cali kid, lots of good quarterbacks from California. There was also Chris Ricks out of California, who was also a 5-star kid, not such a good quarterback. So I think the expectations for Bryce Love are pretty high going into the Bryce Love. Yeah, he's got, you know what? Yeah, I call him Bryce Love. I get it. I know it makes people mad, but he's going to have a chance to, you know, to for me to pronounce his last name right, you know, and when he proves that,
he has to earn the right to have his name pronounced correctly.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I'm doing this thing now. Doing this thing where I'm not doing the weird pronunciations, because I had a guy that came in the other day, and you know, he came in and he was a, you know, he was kind of a redneck, and you know, he kind of talks with a big Southern accent, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that at all. But when you have like a thick Southern accent and then you're talking about cigars and he goes, yeah, you know, you're like, hey, how are you? How's your day going? Oh, pretty good. Oh, okay. Well, like, what are you going to smoke today? And like, I ain't real sure, but, I think I'd like a, Romeo y Julieta, and possibly Monte Cristo, and a Cohiba. And I'm like, how did you go from ain't doing bad to now you can correctly pronounce Spanish words and Spanish, you know, pronunciations correctly? So I have decided it's part of my New Year's resolution to just pronounce things the way that they're, you know, phonetically supposed to be pronounced. Like, I'm not calling it filet mignon anymore. I'm calling it filet mignon. We have Corojo cigars. I'm calling them Corojos. I'm just going to go straight on the phonetic pronunciation. And Bryce Love, got to earn it. Gotta earn it, because I mean, otherwise I'm just buying into the hype, I think.
So if that's the case, I want to hear what your names would have been for Mac, Tua, and Jalen. If Bryce Young's Bryce Love before he earns.
Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay.
Mac? Tua Tagovailoa. Jalen Hurts, that's pretty easy. I mean, there's nothing there. You know, Trevor Larry. It's Mike Jones. Mike Jones, you know, Mike Jones.
You've got to be careful when you're saying that. Remember, Fluff almost caught a case.
Yeah, and you know, noted COVID survivor, Alabama quarterback, Mike Jones. I remember. I was there. I was there. I saw it. You know, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. I mean, a lot of the guys, Landon Dickerson, you know. Alabama had a lot of just normal names this year. It was kind of refreshing, right? There wasn't any like, oh, my God, we're going to have to, like, worry about how we pronounce the name right. It was like, oh, Alabama quarterback, Mac Jones, Alabama wide receiver, Devontae Smith, you know. It was nice. It was, like, easy. Like, because I know the announcers out there had to be going like, oh, God, I hope I don't mispronounce Tua's name on TV, you know.
They're still having a hard time.
Yeah, just call him Tua, right? Just call him Tua. So, all right. So we're about out of time here. I've had a great time here. I hope you've had a great time. We had a good time. So final thoughts on the show, Tide Hoops, you know, whatever you want to talk about here.
Final thought on I'm going to do basketball. I think watch out for this team to win the regular season. I'm just going to reiterate here. Win the regular season, top three in the tournament, Sweet 16 at most for me.
Yeah.
As far as the tournament's concerned, maybe more, but I don't want to have to be yelled at on Twitter like I do on any other day. So,
boy, they yell. I have had my mentions have been ruined over this tweet about making fun of Auburn fans watching Alabama become a basketball school. Auburn fans are mad, and they're mad because their coach is fat. You know, they're mad because they've been cheating and they got caught. You know, they're mad. And I'm sorry, but all they can do is tweet through it. That's all you can do. And I hope that they tweet through it. And I love it when they show how angry they are on the social media because it makes me laugh. So it's an important time. It's an important time in Tuscaloosa and in America. And it's in a very important time for our country. And there are a lot of things going on. And the most important thing going on right now is Alabama is beating your ass in football and basketball. And just wait till baseball happens, because we're coming for your ass in baseball too, and softball. Like, what would it be like if Alabama won 4 national championships in a year between football, basketball, baseball, and softball?
Which one do you think Alabama fans would be most excited about? It's got to be baseball.
Well, I think most Alabama fans, they'd be the most excited about football. Because there are so many Bama fans that are just football.
Excluding but I think, football, though.
I think, to me, it'd be baseball or basketball. Mm-hmm. Probably basketball because it'd be more fans for basketball. But I think baseball would probably be the coolest.
Yeah.
You know, being a big baseball guy, I like baseball a lot more. And I think Omaha is just so cool. The whole NCAA baseball tournament, I think that's just so cool. But I don't know. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see a national championship in baseball or basketball. I wouldn't complain about either.
Both would be pretty cool too.
Thank you for coming on, pal. This has been the R&R cast. I hope everybody had a great time. We had a fun time with ourselves, as we always do. And until then, I'll see you next time. Next week, we're going to have Rocky Dale Davis, Vegas comedian. We're going to have the guy from Yellowstone Bourbon coming on in February. We're going to have the Clyde Mays guy come on soon. We've got some awesome guests coming up. Hopefully my friend Adam Baldwin will be on at some point to my favorite TV show, Firefly. But we got a big year ahead of us on the R&R cast. Thanks for coming on, AJ. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.